And welcome back to this edition of YCSO Behind the Badge. I'm Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer for the York County Sheriff's Office. And first thing first, go to the website, yorkcountysheriff.com. Sign up for the Notify Me alerts. Go to sign up for Code Red alerts. And follow us on all of our social media pages so we can effectively get you the right information at the right time. And that is all, because we've got a lot to get into today. And the reason why we have to get into it today is because I've got the boss in the room again. Been trying to get the boss on the podcast for a couple of weeks, but I finally got the boss is in the room.
The boss, okay.
Sheriff Kevin Tolson is with us this week. And the reason why he is in here this week is if you have not visited the website and seen the 2023 annual report, it's up there. I haven't advertised it because we're waiting to do the podcast and get it out with the Citizens Academy class, which I'll tell you, Sheriff, in the Citizens Academy class, they're bringing this in like it's a notebook. Like this is their study guide or
good.
Something, which is great.
Right.
And that was the purpose of that, is to have the folks in the class have it. But we got it right here. We're going to go through it. It is very statistics driven, but we're not going to bore you too much with a whole bunch of numbers. But the sheriff is here to talk about the significant events of 2023. Yes, we're in 2024. It's March, and let's get to it.
Yeah,
let's start with it, Sheriff.
First, let me start by saying kudos to you. We did our first organized annual report last year, and it didn't go out until I think October.
Yes, sir.
Ish, and I sat down with you, Trent. And I said, we can't wait till October of a year to send out the previous year's report. And you did a wonderful job compiling all this information, putting it in a very organized manner, very eye friendly and easy to understand, and very succinct, where it's you're not caught up in a lot of mumbo jumbo. And so, great job, Trent. And
yes, sir.
That goes in line with us wanting to be very transparent about our numbers, our demographics, our significant events, how our office operates, who's operating it. And I think the report's very, very informative. And I have given a couple of presentations specifically about this report to a couple of groups and got some very positive feedback. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
For being diligent about this. And
part of the role.
And we promise that we'll put this out as early as we possibly can. You start working on this thing really in November. You'll start working on this thing in November.
I told them.
Of 24 to have 24's report out early 25. So again, thanks so much. But just want to highlight a few significant events of 2023. We have returned post COVID, and by the way, I don't know if many of our listeners are out there like me, but I can't tell you what years things happen anymore. I just know if it was before COVID or after COVID.
Yes,
and so that's how I sort of benchmark things that happened. But anyway, after COVID, we finally brought the Citizens Academy back.
Yes, sir,
and it filled up quickly.
Yes. And we had the people who were prior to COVID back into the
which
class.
Which is part of the reason why it filled up so quickly. And we have toyed around with the idea of having two a year because of the response from the community. And again, that goes in line with what we want to do, and that is be transparent. I mean, if you go through Citizens Academy, you're going to walk through the jail.
Everything.
I mean, you're going to walk.
We did that this past
hand
week.
Hand in hand with the inmates and see our detention officers, who, by the way, are some of the best around and have the toughest job, I believe, in law enforcement. It's hard to be a cop right now.
Yes, sir.
But the public just does not get to see what it takes to be a detention officer. And I love those folks. They're wonderful folks. We get weekly compliments from inmates.
I've seen a few of them that Chief Hicks sends
out. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we baby them. It's not that we're soft on crime. It's not that we don't want to hold people accountable. It's that we're firm, fair, and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have certain rules in detention to keep everybody safe.
Yes, sir.
We're responsible for keeping the inmates safe, certainly responsible for keeping staff safe.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to mention, I want to clarify, 5 years ago, management approached me, management here at the office approached me and said, do you know that there's a trend now going around giving inmates tablets? I'm like, no, that's crazy. I'll never do that. That's just insane. You know, we're not going to give them, you know, iPads is what was in my mind. Mm-hmm. But guess what we just implemented?
Tablets.
We implemented tablets.
Yes, sir.
To our inmates. And let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Again, I'm a person who will entertain change if change is positive. And so what these tablets do, first of all, there's no internet. Mm-hmm. They don't get on Google. They don't get on whatever website can go through your mind.
Correct.
That you would.
That's what everybody's probably thinking.
It's an intranet. So we control the information that they can access.
Right.
And a lot of the information that they can access is educational.
Yes, sir.
They can use it as the quote unquote kiosk to request hygiene items, to request medical assistance, mm-hmm. to request whatever it is that they would have to come out of the cell and go to a kiosk and request. Our inmate handbook is mm-hmm. on that tablet. Also, they can do visitation, and they can send and receive their mail.
Mm-hmm.
And if they complete educational components and the modules that are offered, they can get extra rec time.
Nice.
And what all that means is they're occupied. You know, the old cliche, the devil's mind, the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Idle hands, yeah.
Right. And so we're keeping them engaged in positive life skills and modules that help them, would help them if they take it seriously when they are released from our facility. Right. And what that also does, and this is my primary mission, that if you keep inmates occupied, it keeps tension down and it keeps our officers safer.
Oh, yes, sir.
And so what I said 5 years ago, you know, there's absolutely no way. As I started digesting the information and mm-hmm. and the positive influence that it could have on the environment in the detention center, I changed my mind.
Yes, sir.
And the inmates pay for it.
Yeah.
This is not taxpayer funded. There is a price to do visitation. There's a price for the mail that they can receive and send. And so the funds that are generated from that go directly to the company, and then the company reimburses the sheriff's office. And there is a surplus of that, and we mm-hmm. use that for inmate welfare. And we use that for officer safety, things that don't cost the taxpayers a dime. So wow. Anyway, that wasn't on the significant events, but it kind of led into it.
Well, it makes sense because Chief Hicks, you know, we took this year's Citizens mm-hmm. Academy through the jail. This was that was this week's, mm-hmm. well, whenever this week, when people are listening to this, last week's class, they took them through the jail. First of all, two of the people said, best week ever, best yeah, class
it,
so
well,
far.
Well, it raises eyebrows. Yeah. It gives awareness to what a detention facility is like and how to run it.
And Chief Hicks told them about the new tablets, and they had the same thing that you were saying. Oh no, what, they're getting on Facebook and Google and whatever?
And they
no. And he said no, but he didn't mention some of the educational components that he knows of. I think he said one or two of the inmates have completed their GED.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a high school diploma.
Right.
Now they have a GED.
Now they have the ability to get a job. Easier ability to get a job.
So bonus. The tablets.
Yeah.
So that'll be a significant event for the 24.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But all right.
All right. So another thing that we did in 2023 is we went and performed our biggest full-scale active assailant.
It was huge.
Active shooter exercise. And thanks to the Fort Mill School District to allow us to use Catawba Ridge School.
Yes, sir.
For that exercise. We partnered with the school district. We partnered with emergency management, EMS. We had officers from other counties.
Even come, some from North Carolina
and
came
some
down.
From North Carolina to observe. We had role players. Student role players. We had fake blood. We tried to make it as real as an incident that we would encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to God we don't.
Yes, sir.
But holding these full scale exercises is extremely important because we need, when you train for reality, when reality hits, you revert to your training.
Yes.
And a shout out to Chuck Haynes with Emergency Management. He went another step further, and we had a meeting with me and all the chiefs, and he is taking the lead role in, okay, when the threat is gone, mm-hmm. however that looks, however that happens, however that transpires, what do we do afterwards?
Right.
And law enforcement is very good about it, you know, going to the threat and eliminating and neutralizing the threat. But then there's so much work to do afterwards.
Yes, sir.
And Chuck Haynes is developing a very detailed plan on what we do, reunification, mm-hmm. You know, attending to the injured and all of the hospital notifications, and do we secure hospitals? And so he's putting together a really good plan, and that's a good shout out to him. And so after our first big scale exercise in 2017, I think it was, not long after that, we had a real call.
Yes, sir.
We had it was York School, and it was a real call that ended up being wrong information.
Right.
It wasn't a false call. It was a student thought they saw something that they didn't see, a man with a gun.
Right.
And we responded as we trained. And
I remember
my,
that.
My wife actually was one of the first responders.
I remember
she was
that.
In there in her high heels and running into the school. And the biggest takeaway that I got from talking to her was, these kids were calm, and they were obeying our directions. And to me, that's a sad reality. You know, if I was 15 years old and the word went out that there was a person with a gun that may try to harm me, I'd be freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
But these kids were calm, and that's because the school's trained.
They train, yeah.
And they train these students. And that's a good thing that they're calm, but it's a sad reality that they are. That they are calm. So I just know that our officers are trained to go.
Yes, sir.
No Uvalde in York County.
Never.
And I'm not criticizing any particular person or agency, but I made it very clear at our training last year, and that's the first thing that we did, is we took every single officer and we ran them through a scenario where they were the only one. They didn't wait on help. Mm-hmm. They didn't wait on backup. They didn't wait on a squad. They didn't wait on a team. They went. Mm-hmm. And that's how we train. And I'm happy to say that's, to my knowledge, that's how all the agencies in this county train, and that is to go to the threat so that we can save kids and babies.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. So next highlight is our start salaries. We are trying to stay competitive with surrounding agencies,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that our police officers need even more money. I don't think police officers get paid enough. And
yes,
so we went to $50,273 starting salary.
Yes, sir.
And whenever we increase starting salaries, we don't want to create compression.
Mm-hmm.
So when the bottom salary goes up, everybody else's salary goes up too,
mm-hmm.
so that there's not disparity,
yes,
in the guy who just started or girl who just started making more than the person who's been here 4, 5, 6 years.
Yes, sir.
So we were glad to do that. We raised our salary for our detention officers to almost $46,000.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, they deserve every penny of it.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. And if you're complaining about high salaries for detention officers, pick up an application, come do it, and see what the job's like, and you'll
absolutely,
you'll be in support of more money for detention officers.
And we mentioned to the Citizens Academy class this week about the Ride Along program, where enforcement rides along with them, and they ride along with us.
Yeah, it's a walk along in the jail and a ride along on the road.
And so, that was one of, for me, that was a good experience. So, yeah.
All right, then, and that kind of segues into start your career at 19.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
State law changed recently that allows detention officers to begin work at 18. And boy, I was apprehensive about that, because a jail in 2023 or 24 is not the same jail it was when I started in
1992. Right.
We're just dealing with more in detention facilities. And an 18-year-old is not the 18-year-old back when I was 18.
Right.
And so I sort of made the decision to compromise, and we hired two current employees.
Yes.
That were 19. And our policy is 19, not 18.
Yeah.
Law allows for 18, but you can create your own policy. So
right.
If you're 19 years old now, you can start at the detention center. And again, we hired two current employees who were 19. They've been very successful. We knew them. We knew their work ethic. We knew their maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some 19-year-olds now. Well, they may be 20 now.
Yeah, I think so. Because we did highlight them in 2023. So they're probably.
Yeah, it was a male and a female. And so if you're 19 or older and you're looking for a steady career with benefits,
come
fill out an application. You can start it online.
And I believe a lot of them at our last detention hiring event, we had a few 19-year-olds come in. I don't know what their status is, but
yeah.
I know that Sergeant Hewitt and Lieutenant Blauser, you know, I think they had some 19-year-olds come in. I don't know if they made it or not, but still good. All right, we got a lot to go.
And okay.
Number one thing people probably want to know is the crime stats, sir, because we did a lot in 2023 with a few operations.
Well, I see two up arrows, and an up arrow is not good, and down arrows are good. One,
yeah.
Two, three, four, five, six down arrows.
Well, this quick call one is up arrow. That means that the deputies were out there doing what they were more proactive.
So a quick call to the layperson out there is an officer-initiated car stop encounter with an individual, one that they're not radioed by dispatch to say, hey, go to XYZ Street and check out suspicious activity. It's a reflection of our ability to recruit, and we're full on the enforcement side. And you hear that, knocking on wood, and so we're fully staffed, which allows for more resources to be out there being proactive. So that arrow is a good arrow.
It's a good arrow.
It's a good arrow. The only other up arrow, we were up by two, just two.
Two.
Personal robberies. And those were, I guess, up from 15 to 17 from 2022. Four homicides.
And those weren't all like four separate homicides. I think those were homicides where there were multiple
homicides. And again, as I spoke during the last annual report summary, there are no stranger homicides. Every victim had a relationship to the suspect.
Correct.
It's not like people are walking around scared that they're some stranger's going to, you know, create a violent act on them or commit a violent act on them.
Serial killers, as people may think of in the back of their mind. For people who are
stranger
listening,
homicides.
We don't have none of that.
We answered 67,255 calls for service last year, and that's a down arrow. That's a down from 68.
Just a percent.
Yep, 68, almost 2%, 68,424 last year. Our violent crime decreased 16.7% overall.
That's awesome.
I think that's still a testament to our being fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more police officers out there and able to be proactive.
Yes, sir.
And it's also it speaks to our criminal justice system as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about holding people accountable. I'm all about sending the bad guy who is a repeat offender, sending them to Department of Corrections and incapacitating them from being able to further victimize people. You know, there's three facets of incarceration that I learned in my studies.
Yeah.
And one is retribution. You do the crime, you do the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one area where incarceration is a factor that's taken into account. Second is rehabilitation. And I'll be the first to admit, we do a horrible job rehabilitating in our correctional system.
But with the new iPads or tablets.
We're not a correctional facility. We're a detention facility. Yeah. Correctional facility is when you've been sentenced. But, we're doing what we can.
Yeah.
But the resources that are available to Director Sterling and Department of Corrections, I think needs to be addressed.
Sure.
But three is incapacitation, just like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have repeat offenders, and to me it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but I think a lot of times our property criminals just fly under the radar. Judges don't want to sentence people to prison for property crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And many property crimes are a result of people's addiction. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of programs here. Solicitor Brackett has a lot of programs available.
Right.
Drug court, mental health court,
all DV the
court.
Stuff.
All great diversions programs that people don't want to, because they're rigid and stringent, that people don't want to enter.
Mm.
And you've got to have a carrot on the stick. And if that carrot on the stick is, if you can't straighten up, you're going to go down the road for a little while, because we're not going to allow you to run around and commit these crimes and continue to victimize people.
Right.
So violent crime's down 16.7%. Property crime, 23%.
Yes, sir.
Again, that's got to be a testament to us being fully staffed, as well as a very good detective division who they know their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They know the people that are out here doing this. They put them on the radar, and we actively pursue them and try to make them discontinue their criminal activity.
And in 2023, we were really proactive about property crime.
March Madness, Operation Diamondback, yes. Yeah, so that's our B&E autos are down 28%.
Which is amazing.
And maybe Diamondback and March Madness helped that, because that Carowinds corridor is a very, very busy corridor. That's where we have a lot of our B&E autos. And your great job of putting the word out there to lock your doors. I think it went out at 9 o'clock every night, right?
Yeah, we're trying to do it again, try to ramp that back up, you know, just now, because it was just – my personal observation I've seen on our daily reports where people are still leaving their car door unlocked, leaving their stuff in their car. So we're going to start giving everybody a little hint, a little reminder, a little nudge.
Yeah, folks, lock your car and also take your valuables out. If you want to leave your car unlocked.
Cool.
But just take your valuables out. Take your guns out first. Then your computers and your phones and your pocketbooks and your wallets, your money, your credit cards, mm-hmm. you know, anything of value, I have a book bag.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And, I take mine in every night.
Yep, I leave it in my car. Well, I bring it to work, mm-hmm. then I put it in my car when I go home. I go home and I grab that book bag. It's got all the above in there.
Yeah, me too.
And it's just grab it, put it inside, but I still lock my doors.
Oh, yeah, it's still
it's just habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live way out in the country, and I still lock my doors. I mean, anybody comes down my driveway,
you're not so countrified anymore. You're seeing growth out in your area.
Let's hope we'll pump the brakes on that.
So anyway, to recap, 17, almost 17% reduction in violent crime,
mm-hmm.
to a 23% reduction in property crime. That makes me very happy.
Yes, sir.
And I hope it makes the citizens of this county happy.
So, the budget. Everybody always wants to talk about money,
sure.
where their tax dollars are going.
Absolutely.
You know?
So our budget last year was just right at $52 million, and 70% and the enforcement side. And mm-hmm. when I say enforcement when I say enforcement, I mean our police officers.
Right.
And then when I say detention, that's obviously our detention
folks.
Yes, sir. But our budget for enforcement was $33 million, almost $34 million. But 76% of that is personnel cost.
That's amazing.
Just as any organization, your highest cost is going to be personnel. That number goes up in our detention division, $18 million for our detention division. 88% of that is personnel cost. And that's simply because we don't have to provide vehicles. They have one radio instead of two radios. You know, we have a car radio and a handheld radio. Our fleet is very expensive to run, and we put hundreds of thousands of miles on our cars every year, and unfortunately we get into accidents, and those can be expensive.
Hit
to
a
fix.
Deer every now and then.
Yeah, and so we were able to secure about almost $3 million in grants. last year for our DNA lab, our traffic safety, our school resource officers was our biggest portion of that, which, by the way, we have a police officer in every school.
Every one of them.
Elementary on up. And that's another five-year-ago question. People would ask me, do we need police officers in elementary schools? And I was like, no, we don't. Yeah. But you know what? I've changed my mind on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's peace of mind for the students. It's peace of mind for the staff. It's peace of mind for the parents to have a police officer in every school. And the added benefit of that, Trent, is we're giving exposure to law enforcement to kids at a young age in a positive environment, not a negative environment.
Correct.
And we're able to identify problems within families and help to the extent that we can. And mentor and possibly intervene in young children's lives,
Sergeant,
that are at risk.
Yeah, Sergeant Gilbert and I went out to an elementary school yesterday, and we were walking around. It was a program they're trying to do, bring a mentor program out there, and we saw the SRO at that school, and the kids were just, I mean, wait. He's our SRO. What are you guys doing here? And he's like, man, they're here just like me. I mean, really, really positive.
Yeah.
Really positive to have that kind of different mentality with, hey, I'm a police officer. I'm your SRO, but these guys are just as cool as I am.
Yeah.
So it was
that's right.
It was really
good interaction.
Yeah. It was really good.
Well, our public information.
People see all that every day. You want to move on?
No. I want you to talk about our page visits.
Well,
our web page visits.
When I ran these numbers for our web page, and you can almost imagine what our website has on it. It has all the information you need to know about the sheriff's office, but it also has a page called the inmates page. And that page.
Don't tell me people want to go see who's in jail.
No, believe it or not, Sheriff. Sorry to be a burden, bring you the bad news. I'm trying to always bring out the good news. But number one most visited page on YorkCountySheriff.com was a tie, really, of inmates and detention information. So people have family members in there. They're trying to, one, see their family member, and two, how they can send things to their loved one. The second one was staff directory. That means people are trying to get in touch with somebody around here, or probably a scammer trying to see which names.
Yeah. I'm Sergeant Casey.
Yeah.
You have a warrant. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Let's take this opportunity to tell people the sheriff's office will never, ever, ever call you and tell you to use a Cash App, Venmo, Green Dot cards, gift cards.
Nothing.
Never. If we have a warrant for your arrest, someone will knock on your door. Or they will call you and say, we'll give you the opportunity to come turn yourself in at the office. Mm-hmm. We will never ask for money over the phone. That's not our job. That's the judge's job to post your bond.
Right.
And we don't collect fines. The clerk's office collects fines, and the magistrate's office collect fines. So if you get that call, do one of a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them they're knuckleheads and hang up, and then call us at 803-628-3059 because our numbers have been spoofed.
Yes, sir.
But if you call that number, you'll get a live sheriff's office employee. Two, tell them, oh, sir, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that I did this. Will you meet me at my local sheriff's office, and I will have the money for you?
Mm-hmm.
If you'll meet me in the lobby, I'll give it to you right there so that I can make sure that I see my warrant go away. Guess what?
Yeah, please do that. I'd be out there with
the camera. We've done that. We've gotten them online and actually videoed them as we talked to them on the phone. So anyway.
Oh, by the way, with that said, you need to have a talk with Captain Stoneburner.
Is he back at it?
Yes, sir.
He's back scamming.
He must be going to take a jury duty scam.
He's gonna have a good vacation this year with all this money he's collected.
That's about five this year. This year alone, he's been used. But
yeah,
and that time they spoofed the detention center number.
I think the number was about $14,000 just this year. It was 14 already. Reported scams. That's what it was.
Yeah,
we're well on the way to surpass last year's reported scams. Oh, and that's another thing I want to say is if you are attempted, if it's attempted that the people scam you, please call us. Information for us is power. These people are hard to catch because they use technology to hide themselves. But please call us so that we can track the numbers. And if there are, you know, numbers drive grants. Mm-hmm. They drive grant funding opportunities, and if there's a way that we can increase our technology and our investigative tools to catch these people, if we can demonstrate that this is a big problem in our area, it's easier to get that grant funding.
And I'll tell you this, that at the time of our news conference where we had a couple of weeks ago with you and everybody, we had it was 12,000 already, and that was February, beginning of February when we had the news conference about and it was, and that was 12,000 had been stolen, 12,000 some change. In one call one day, a victim was
about 12,000.
12,000.
Oh, 12.
Yeah, they had, she went and then turned it into, he said, well, we need that in Bitcoin. Boy, that is a, that. If you hear somebody say, we need you to take that money and turn it into Bitcoin versus like Venmo or something, like, that's got to be the huge, biggest red flag.
Yeah.
Like, you know, over a car dealership, you know, American flag. So anyway.
All right.
So,
what about our social media pages?
I thought this was a wrong number when I saw it because I've got the program to look it up. From in 2022, we on just Facebook alone was a 47,917 followers, which is fairly decent for a law enforcement agency, you know, in a small area. That number, Sheriff, shot up to 91,641 people.
Well, and you're very active on our page with a lot of information, and I guess freshness is what drives people to visit the sites.
Yes,
and
sir.
You keep those social media platforms very active, and I do get a lot of compliments about how active our social media pages are.
I was pretty excited, but that's a lot of work. But I will tell you this: folks talk about followers and this. I'm following this. I'm following that. Some of those followers may not live around here, which I understand. They're just following because they want, you know, interesting content. Sure. But the engagement rate is what I was most impressed with. You know, out of the 958 posts we did on Facebook last year, and we do Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the other stuff, we had 958 posts. We had a 3.9% engagement rate. And I was like, wow, 3.9. I looked it up. 3.9, any business in America would give their right arm for a 3.9% engagement rate. That's what people are actually reading, watching,
right,
clicking on things, commenting on things, and to have close to 4% as an engagement rate, any business in America would beg for that kind of engagement rate.
So, well, great job.
So, yeah. So, all right, cool. We'll probably speed it up here.
We'll get through this. I'll run through just a few more of the highlights. We had eight internal complaints that involved 15 total deputies. Half of those were unfounded.
Yeah,
meaning that the complaint was baseless. One was exonerated, meaning that the action did occur, but the investigation showed that the actions were reasonable, lawful, and proper.
Yeah.
One was sustained. We don't like to see that, but I think people would be suspicious if every year I come on the show or in this annual report, none of yours are ever sustained. No, we do mess up.
Yeah.
And a sustained finding is when the investigation closed that there was sufficient evidence to support the allegations of the complaint. And then we have two open investigations. And so out of 220 deputies, 450 employees, 8 internal investigations, and half were unfounded. One was exonerated. I'm happy about that number. Mm-hmm. Our demographics. I'll just say this: you can go on the website and look at the breakdown. But the one thing I want to highlight is our demographics mirror our county demographics.
Right.
From the census report, we are almost neck and neck with what our county looks like versus what the demographics here at the sheriff's office look like.
Right.
And that's good to know. And that makes me feel good that we are as diverse as our community is.
Right.
Recruiting, we had 2,257 applications come through. Of those, only 57 were eligible to be tested, and we hired 32 of those 57 between support staff and deputies.
Very selective.
Yes.
Very selective on who
we Yes. are. We had a lot of retirements in 2022, and so that was part of our vacancy problem was folks were retiring out, and finding good folks is not an easy task today.
Yeah,
so that want to do this.
Yeah,
yeah. There's plenty of good folks out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good folks that want to do this are the I call these kids golden eggs, and we try to latch onto them and embrace them and bring them in.
I was trying to explain to somebody. Yeah, it's like you know the recruiting nowadays is almost. You almost liken it to college recruiting, where you find that golden egg.
And yeah, like, I
want you to play for.
I am waiting for deputies to say, "When do I get compensated for my name, image, and likeness?"
As much as I put them on Facebook, they might do that, sir.
We had almost 40,000 training hours, and that is crucial.
That's
training is everything about law enforcement.
Can't
just and grab there's it. So many things that we're required to do now, so many hats that we're required to wear that it takes training to be proficient in wearing those hats. And so our training division does a really, really good job getting those hours. 17,000 of those hours were in person, 5,500 hours almost of firearms training, and then field training hours, which are training new deputies, was 10,000 of those hours. So we had 11 deputies successfully graduate from the academy last year. We'll probably meet that goal this year or more. So
we had a lot of community events there. 98 different community events we went to last year.
Yeah. And look, folks, if you want us to attend an event, go on our website and and there's a tab to request a deputy for an event, and we'll do our level best to show up.
You won't skip all the way to detention division? I mean, because people can go online and look at all this. I mean, it's numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers.
I do want to mention March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
And Diamondback, those were our two major operations we've already referenced in this show. Those were the two major operations that we held up in the Lake Wylie and Carowinds Boulevard area. Very successful. Go on the website, pull this report up, look at those numbers. We made a difference.
Yes, sir. We sure did. We
made a difference, and we saw
you were up there.
Yeah, we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, man. We had you and I both out there doing a good old time.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll do something again to pay attention to that very important area. Yeah,
we're not going
to
tell you. We're not giving you the playbook.
All right, we'll wrap up with detention. We booked 6,700 inmates last year. We've served 548,000 meals.
That's amazing. I every year when I see this so far, it's like, you don't think about that. I mean, everybody think, oh, they get bread and water, but those are three full meals, nutritious meals.
Yeah.
And just to know that many meals have been served.
It's three a day.
Yeah.
And we average about 450 inmates.
It's got to be the biggest kitchen in York County.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I don't know if it is or not.
I'm not saying it's the best, but it's the biggest.
But it serves.
548,000 meals.
That's amazing.
We had 25,000 inmates seen by nursing staff. We had 2,000 inmates seen by mental health staff. We have one and soon to be two full-time mental health clinicians in the detention center.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy on that is, well, number one, we do run the biggest mental hospital in York County.
Yep.
I'm not supposed to. That's not my function. That's not my job. But it's the hand I'm dealt. And so if it makes for a safer staff environment and a safer jail environment, detention environment, then, and again, that's not taxpayer funded. That comes from inmate commissary funds.
Yep.
So it's not that there are folks out there who would say, I don't want my tax dollars going for mental health help for inmates. Well, your tax dollars aren't. And so we try to make it a safer place. We had 9,292 inmates attending programs. And we have over 150 volunteers that come into the jail,
yes,
to the detention center from religious programs to educational programs to life skill programs to better our inmate population mm-hmm. so that we don't want them to come back.
Right.
I'd love for our inmate population to be zero.
Yes, sir.
That's never going to be that way.
But it was nice during COVID when it got down like the 200s.
Well, that's right. But people were at home too, protecting their property. So, yeah. And then lastly, let me wrap up with this. Last year in April, we began to implement our officer and staff mental wellness program.
Yes, sir.
We hired Dr. Nikki Vasilis. She is a PhD clinical psychologist.
Super person.
Very first responder oriented. Her dad was a cop, her uncle was a cop, her husband's in the National Guard. And so she's culturally competent, mm-hmm. is what we call it. She knows what it's like to be in the life of a first responder. And we are working her to the bone.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this.
I mean, I saw her in her office the other day and I was like, whoa, you're here. I mean, not in a bad way, but I was like, she's out there doing work.
She started on a Monday and she was in a patrol car on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And she does a phenomenal job. We don't want our officers to follow the national trend of the average age of death of a retired police officer mm-hmm. in America is 61. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of that has to do with their mental wellness, because your mental wellness drives your physical wellness. And so she's doing a great job. Sergeant Doty's doing a great job.
That's right.
He's on board, and his sole job is to look out for our officers and identify needs aside from Dr. Nikki, any other needs. And so more to come on the wellness program. We're really, really still at the very beginning stages of it, but it's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, mm-hmm. and we're going to hit all of those facets to make sure that our police officers are healthy.
And that goes for both enforcement and detention.
Absolutely.
Chief Hicks has created a wonderful space down there for his employees.
Yeah, Sergeant Green does a great job.
Man. That is a nice break room down there. If anything, you want to come work at the York County Sheriff's Office Detention Center.
And then go on break. Yeah.
I am not kidding when I say that. You want to work to go on break.
Well, it gives them an opportunity to get out of a detention environment. Because a lot of them, they don't have, with their breaks, they don't have time to go out and leave and eat and come back in.
They get 30 minutes and then got to get back out.
They get 15, 30, and 15 throughout their shift. And so, that break room is something.
I'm jealous, actually.
Yeah. Well, go visit sometime.
I will.
Well, I want to thank everybody out there for listening.
Yes, sir. Well, we made it, and I know it's a lot of big numbers, but if you can go to yorkcountysheriff.com, you can get onto the website, go to the services tab. You can services tab. You see public information and community relations tab right there, and it'll be right there. It says annual report. Click on it. You can see the 2022 annual report and the 2023 annual report, and before you know, we'll be working on the 2024 annual report. So, all right, folks, it's live on our website, yorkcountysheriff.com. Go there. Go check us out on social media. We'll put it up on our social media pages for next week when this podcast airs. And, folks, we thank you for listening to this edition of YCSO Behind the Badge.